Father, we thank you for this time with you, with your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is alive and profitable unto us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we, the people of God, may be continually and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And Father, I thank you personally for giving me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to them that are weary, that my speech and my teaching and preaching is not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with demonstration and manifestation of the Spirit and of power. Therefore, Father, I commit to give you alone all the praise and the glory and the honor for what will take place this day and also in the many days to come. In the mighty name of Jesus and all of God's people said, amen. Open your Bible to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And we're going to continue our study and teaching on the topic of God's way to prosper. Say God's way to prosper.
God's way to prosper.
Say it again, please.
God's way to prosper.
Now, what I'm talking about is not just about money, you all. The teaching ministry, people like myself, brings clarity. Because we come to church and come to churches like ours, in particular, like any church, but come to churches like ours with a set of thinking that you already have about God and about the scriptures. And so, but our role is to help and provide light, insight, and truth, what the Bible says. So you can get a perspective. God wants his people to prosper. Amen. But prosperity is not limited to things and money and stuff. Amen. Prosperity is about your marriage. Amen. Your children prosper.
Amen.
Yeah, your children.
Amen.
Not just having 5 or 6 or 8 of them, whatever, but they do well.
Yes.
They do well in life. Your health is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
That you live healthy and vibrant and live a long life.
Amen.
That's scripture. We're going to talk about that.
Amen.
That you have more than enough to help other people, not just to meet your needs only.
Amen.
And be a blessing.
That's right.
You prosper in your careers.
Amen.
In your jobs, in your businesses.
Amen.
You prosper in favor. You know, in Luke 2:52, it says how Jesus increased in stature and also in wisdom and in favor with God and man.
Amen.
That's a model for us. You should be increasing more and more in favor with God and man. You know, when I share stuff, I'm not trying to brag and stuff like that, but it's the illustration because I purpose to be prosperous in every area. And really, it's easy because God does it. We just do our part.
Amen.
But favor is key because you should prosper in your relationships. Favor comes through people and God.
Mm-hmm.
And God touches people's heart. Mm-hmm. He calls them to favor you. But you got to behave in a way where they want to favor you. They may say, I'm going to go help so-and-so. They can meet you. You mean and bad. And, you know, I must have missed God. They should want to favor you. Say, want to favor me. And to get to accomplish the purpose of God requires favor. That's an area of prosperity. Are you following me? So it's not limited to money.
Amen.
Not at all. But yet, don't knock the money piece.
Amen.
Because, you know, we don't mind getting a raise or a bonus. We don't mind getting promoted. We don't mind prospering in those areas. But too often what happens is that we don't want to ascribe it to God blessing us.
Mm.
Or we don't want to really trust God that he's really doing it. So we do it ourselves, hook a crook, 4 or 5 gigs, wear yourself out, and you do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
And it don't really work too well, as many of you know, and I know too. God's way is always better. There's a God's way to prosper in every area of our lives.
Amen.
You shouldn't be married long if you're married. Ideally, unless your spouse passes away. Yeah. Should have a nice, and then enjoy the ride.
Amen.
Being married.
Amen.
Now, you may have some bumps and little what I call intense fellowship. I'm going to side over here. A little intense fellowship. But then you say, I'm sorry, babe. I'll do better. I won't do that no more. And you love, you know, hug and kiss and you forgive. Say forgive.
Forgive.
Because that's how God designed it. Because in any relationship, even your job, personnel, if you don't understand how to love and forgive, you won't get far in life.
That's true.
I'm going to say that again.
Amen.
If you don't, because unforgiveness is a learned behavior. I'll say it again. Unforgiveness is a learned behavior. You see it. You grow up around it. You see it around people. So the walk in love And to forgive is a learned behavior. Yeah, you have the scripture, but you got to see it walked out. But then you say, well, you know, I'm not like that. You know, no, you can be like that.
Right,
you let the word transform your life. And then you start prospering. See, many of the things that we pray about will come through people or some person or a few people. But if we have an increase in favor with God and man, then the people God is talking to, and then somehow they kind of approach your way, and, you know, they see things, you know, you're not nice, you're not, you know, accommodating and stuff like that and forgiving. They just like, you know what, they can't obey God because they're looking at the natural.
Yeah.
But God may have touched your heart to be a blessing to you, open a door for you, because we're not operating and increasing and expecting it to happen.
Yeah.
You don't want to be, you know, it's in the world, I'm a self-made man. That's not Bible. Yeah, you can be, well, I won't say that, but anyway. That's not good. But I saw people because, you know, you didn't have nobody for you, you were alone, you know, people leave home at young ages, and I was all by myself. You get to a habit of working on your own, and you do without God. You may go to church, yeah, it's Zoe. I get it. But are you really embracing what God said in his word? Are you really applying it? If you don't do that, you're trying to do it without God still.
Amen.
Just the way it is. Amen? I'm not trying to hate on anybody, be mad at anybody. Today, God got a word. He's already started. He got a word for us today. Let me give you a little insight. The things you've been believing God to do, in specific those things that have been taking a while, and you know, it's been kind of toil, a little hard. Today, you get a hold of this message I'm sharing with you, it's over.
Right.
It's going to happen. It's not no hype gimmick. I'm going to show you clearly what God is about to do when you get your heart and belief in order with his word.
Amen.
It's powerful.
Amen.
Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now, he doesn't mean don't talk about it. He means don't stop talking about it.
All
right. It's not saying just talking about the Bible, I believe the Bible. No, not that. It's speaking actual scriptures.
Right.
It's declaring, we're going to talk about it further, declaring it over your life.
Amen.
You know, one passage I quote oftentimes is Psalm 91, verse 16, which says, with long life will you satisfy him and show him your salvation. So I put my name in there. In Psalms 91, verse 1, I quote that over my family protection. He that dwells in a secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
Shadow protection. I will say the Lord. He is my refuge, my fortress. In him do I trust. So I say the Smith family when we travel. My wife and I when we travel. Oh, you follow me.
Yeah.
Shall dwell. Now you may say, well, you're doing it because you're a preacher? No, just preachers don't do that. That's why some of them have major problems. Disasters. They preach it, but are they applying it? It's designed to speak, and you speak because you believe it, and we're going to show you in a few minutes how the angels respond to the word of God spoken out of your mouth.
Amen. Amen.
So we keep it to ourselves. We just believe it intellectually. You're not getting the impact you need. You're not getting the power release. Yeah. It's not, well, anyway, let me help you. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Say day and night.
Day and night.
So when you meditate, he's not just thinking, oh, I'm thinking about the word. No, you're going deeply. You're reading it over and over again. You're asking the Lord to open it up to you, give you better understanding. In the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about, he talks about that the parable of the sower, one of the examples in one of the gospels, is that when it gets down to the sower or the ground that bears most fruit, 10, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, is one that understood the word that was sown in his heart.
Yes.
See, if we just hear it, good message. Do you understand what he said? Well, that's not a put down. You got to go deeper.
Yeah.
You got to study it.
Amen.
You got to dig in. You got to meditate, think about it more. In fact, I would say one of my grandchildren, you know. But there's I guess, one of the games on the iPad that they have. But they kind of speak in kind of an English accent, something like that. Guess what? One of my grandkids start talking like that. Where you get it from? He's spending time watching that. He's meditating on it.
Yeah.
A little cartoon character. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
They talk in kind of an accent. He pick up the accent. Come on, talk to me. When you go deeper, now it becomes part of you.
Yeah.
He's not saying, I'm going to talk in an accent. No, it just comes out of him. And if we don't go that kind of deep, that kind of level of deep. Now, you can do it with your regular life and chores and going to college and raising the children and fixing dinners and all that, and driving to work. I get it. But somehow you got to spend some time with God in that level. Let it go deep. Say, go deep. Meditate in the word day and night that you may observe to do. Notice observe means visual perception. You got to see some things. And we all see, but part of the problem is we're looking at the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Like I was sharing last Sunday, one minister shared the definition of faith, which really was powerful. Catherine Kuhlman was the lady who shared it. She said, someone asked her, what's faith? She described it as this. When you quit believing what you see and start seeing what you believe. Amen. God wants you to see something. When you quit, believe what you say. Oh, it hurts. Oh, I don't have money. Oh, I'm not getting promoted. I'm getting passed over. That's what you're saying. You believe what you say. I guess I'll never get ahead in this company. I guess it won't work for me. You're believing what you see, experiencing. Are you following me?
Yes.
When you start believing, start seeing what the Bible is saying about you. Mm-hmm. My God shall supply all you need. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, not Bank of America, not Wall Street. We're not knocking that, but you're looking at what God does for you.
Amen.
And then you start seeing that in spite of. That's why reading the biblical accounts of biblical examples of people that have nothing and how God provided for them.
Yes.
Widows had nothing and God provided for them. And the currency they had was faith. Believing in God. Say, believing in God. Now, you say, well, that was for the poor people back in the Bible. There's poor people today. And people that are struggling got stuff, but they're still struggling, okay? So my point is that if we have believe what God says, God can help us in every area, even in our relationships,
Amen.
In getting healed in our bodies, in our minds. Say, in our minds.
Amen.
Observe to do according to all that is written therein, for notice written. So you got to be specific. That's why I can quote scripture because I've read it so many times. I don't go there. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I don't really try to memorize scripture. I just keep reading more and more and more. Pretty soon, it's in me.
Mm-hmm.
It's in me.
Amen.
You know, back in the day before we had our phones, you know, we were memorizing phone numbers. And I would put the name in. They said, what's their phone number? I don't even know it now. I forgot. I gotta look it up in the contacts. Because you're not, oh yeah, used to know it, but now you just press the name, Vanessa. Are you following me? Because you don't do it on a regular basis. Oh, you're going to get this today. We used to know God is a healer provider, but I don't do it on a regular basis. I forgot that.
Wow.
It's not presence of mind, not top of mind.
Wow.
See, God is real. He's alive. This is not a fraternity. Not the boys' club and the girls' club. This is where you learn life from God, the creator of heaven and earth.
Amen.
Who's very much alive.
Amen.
That God.
Yes.
Not a religion. Life.
Life.
And he has a book called the Bible.
Hmm.
No, we're going to get into that later. I'm going to give you a little heads up. But see, I know got some brothers and sisters out there, mostly brothers. Man, wrote the Bible. You know what? You weren't even there. How you? You believe Socrates? You believe the mathematicians of old? But the Bible says they were inspired by God.
That's right.
Man did not write the Bible.
Amen.
God is the author of the Bible.
Yes.
Men just set the type.
Amen.
Like when you get a book published, whose name on it? Your book? Your name is on it. Not I'm on front. Now, you got to look in the detail and look at, oh, there's a publisher behind this.
Amen.
But your name is on top. You're the author of your book. You going to get this? When we understand that we let all this stuff that get in the way, these isms, and just get in the book for ourselves and find out how good God is. I was raised in the church, went to church every Sunday, did not know God. But when I finally got saved, got to a Bible teaching church like we have, it changed my life. I said, I'm in God. I'm all in. I found out. You were good all along. I didn't know you were that good.
Well,
Getting back to basics. The word, say the word.
Word.
And valuing it.
Yes.
Valuing it.
Hallelujah.
Meditating on it. Go deep. Understand it better so you can apply it consistently to our personal lives.
Amen.
Observe to do all that is written therein. For then, say then. After you value the book, you speak in the word over your life and family, situations, you believe in it, what's written in the word, and then you will make your own way, make your way prosperous, and then you have what? Good success. That means not just money and stuff, success and your healing. My wife and I, we have excellent health. I don't take medicine. I'm not sure I ever took medicine. Maybe I was small. I had mumps. Yeah, chicken pox. When I got saved, I took a hold of this word.
Amen.
My kids haven't had no major stuff, problems. God's always came through for them. Medical bills is mostly when Vanessa got pregnant. That paid a copay kind of stuff. We got a hold of it early as college students.
Amen.
We stopped playing. We wouldn't play with God. We took it serious. We had regular jobs and lives. We believe the Bible, and we speak it, and we live it. We're not perfect. We haven't arrived. Maybe y'all know that we haven't arrived. We're not perfect, but we don't wallow in sin. And we dare to believe God, and health is a big piece of that prosperity in our life. That's why my son's taking over the church. I'm cool. Why? Because I got plenty of energy. I got vision. I got things to do and help you all start your businesses and prosper and ministry. That's what I'm here for, y'all. Connect you to my connections and stuff out there. That's what I'm here. God has blessed me with so much favor. I want to be a blessing to you. And I can't be hiding out of some beat somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I'm just hanging out. No, I ain't doing that. And I'm healthy. And you ought to be healthy too.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Oh, God. Okay, I got something else for you. Look at Philemon in chapter 1, verse 6, about speaking the word over your life. Because this oftentimes is a rub with Christians, because there've been some bad raps out there over the years about the naming and claiming bunch, blabbing and grabbing bunch. Well, you may not be claiming the scripture like we're claiming the scripture, but you're claiming something else though. I'm broke. The door's not open for me. I guess I'll never be married. You're claiming that. That's not what God's saying for you.
Amen.
Agree with him. Say agree with him.
Agree with him.
I guess I'll never own a house. Agree with him. He's not saying it's too expensive to buy a house in California. He's not saying that. Oh, yeah. He's not saying that about you.
Well,
he got a way to figure that out if that's what you want.
Yeah.
See, it's believing what God said, and then you act upon it, and your words agree with what God says because, okay, let me help you. Part of the challenge, I'm getting ahead of myself. Look at Philemon, chapter 1, verse 6. That the communication of your faith, it's in King James on purpose because it has the way it says it is really, I really want to tap into. The communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
See, you got to communicate your faith, yeah.
Amen.
Can't just say, well, God knows my heart, you don't say nothing. You know what? The Bible don't teach that. It says even here. The communication of your faith may become effective or effectual by what? You acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ.
Amen.
You can't put yourself down. Stop it.
Amen.
You can't go in the past and wallow in the past how bad it's been if you want God what God promised you.
Well, it's
my truth. What happened back when I was past? The Bible tells you, any man be in Christ. He is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things, say all things, become new. Now, you can remember and think about it, but you don't want to dwell on it and go there. And I say, yes, your everyday testimony. We all got pain. My friend had a background. But you can't walk over here in progress while you're holding on to this.
That's right.
And some of us got some stuff. I got stuff. I can't hold on to that and move with God. You got to acknowledge every good thing. And too often we around people because they glorify the evil. They glorify the bad in their life. That is not the Bible.
Amen.
He said every good thing, not bad thing.
Right.
And you acknowledge with your mouth.
Mm.
So what are you saying about you?
Well.
Just answer your own question. What are you saying about you? What are you rapping about you? What are you singing about you? What's coming out of your spoken word mouth about you? What are you saying about you? I know it's popular, but it's not Bible. I'm giving you scripture. Acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ. You're not putting yourself up. It's you in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we got to believe that. Otherwise, we're going to let the devil come in and take us back. I know we have emotional challenges and maybe, you know, things that happen because it's real and it's maybe worse than what I can relate to. And you say, like, well, Pastor, you didn't have go through what I went through. Okay, I get it. But the Bible is not, you know, does not have exceptions. God is not, he's not a respecter of a person. So if it worked for one, it'll work for somebody else if you believe it. Right. When you make exceptions, you just told God, you're good, but not over here.
Right.
You can deliver, but not over here. Yeah, it happened, but if you want to have your faith effective, you got to acknowledge every good thing. Say every good thing.
Every good thing.
That's in you, and you do it with your mouth.
That's right.
Do it with your mouth, my friend.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
We got to help our spouses, our children. You know, because we love them, you know, Donnie, we don't talk like this. But mama, I got a D a second time. I'm dumb. My friend told me I'm stupid. No, you're not. You got the mind of Christ.
Right.
Now give him some help. Give her some help. Get a tutor. But help them get their thinking. A lot of it is how they approach the exam.
Yeah.
How they approach it, the thinking. You got a mind of Christ, then how you study, how you research, it all impacts your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You go in the dark way, negative, you don't see nothing good. You start taking the test. Oh, you start having headaches now. You never get a headache except when you take tests. Why is that? Because of how you torch it. You're not good enough. I don't do math well.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not pep talk. It's truth. See, it'd be one thing if it was, I'm talking about Tony Evans and Les Brown and other popular, you know, motivational speakers. It's fine. I'm talking about the Bible.
Amen.
I'm talking about life. And if you believe it is life, it'll work for you. If you think this is stuff preacher's talking about, it won't help you.
Amen.
It's when you believe it. Say believe it.
Believe it.
Talking about getting back to basics.
Amen.
Getting back to basics. The word of God. And so we need to do that. Now let me just talk about, put a slide up. Our faith is voice activated. Say our faith is voice activated. Now, I forgot to mention to my team back there, but I'm getting a little out of order. I'm going to pop up right now, Psalms 103, verse 20. It's in my notes. It's in your notes a little further down. But I'm going to give you a scripture that's in your notes. But I'm going to get a little earlier. Okay? I was doing the break. It was powerful in the first service. You're getting your breakthrough today, big time.
Amen.
And you get something that can not just get a breakthrough for here to take with you and keep getting breakthroughs. Keep accomplishing what God put in your heart to do. See, God began to speak to me about this. I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring, you know, 30 years. And I began to get a little rusty in some areas. Not in sin, overt sin, but just not as sharp at making sure what I'm thinking and what I'm saying is consistent. You know, you kind of get in a routine in life, and pretty soon, you know, I'm believing the Bible, I'm reading the Bible, but I just need to, this topic area checked me. And I realized, you know what, God, I need to tighten up. I just got to forgive me. I said, Lord, okay, we're going to move forward. And I began to go deeper, and I tell you, I don't have time to talk about it. Some stuff I've been working on in one of our ministries for several years to get done has been a little challenging. In the last seven days, tremendous resourcing and breakthroughs because I lined up with God.
Yeah.
Tighter, say tighter.
Tighter.
See, God don't take off forever. You see, look, read the Bible about Abraham. Abraham was 75 years old when God said, you're going to have some children. Now, he and his wife couldn't have any children, so he's happy and all that. And then after a while, wasn't working. Wasn't no children. And he's a little concerned, and so he thought he may. And God kept telling him, you're a father of nations. And he's looking at himself. I'm Abraham, struggling. I'm looking at Sarah. She's not making it happen. Maybe my handmaid is going to be the one. She looks kind of cute anyway. always hanging around the kitchen with us. Mm-hmm. His wife said, well, go ahead. Maybe that's the one she had the baby with. He has a baby with her. And God said, I bless that child, but that's not the one. Please follow me. 24 years came and gone. It's very powerful. He was 24 years came and gone. He's 99 years old. And God changed his name, how he saw himself. See, you start seeing yourself not enough. Seeing yourself as a broken person. Then the promise of God cannot manifest in your life like it should. You may get a little squeak in there, but not the flow. Say not the flow.
Not the flow.
And when God changed Abram's name to Abraham, the father of nations,
yes.
And he began to embrace it and believe, I'm a father of nations. I can imagine Sarah calling him when she's going shopping, and she's been shopping, got all the vegetables and fruit she needed and meat and stuff, and said, honey, Abraham, I'm ready to go. Come get some of these groceries. Help me put it on the cart. Abraham, father of nations. Everybody knew what that meant. Had to deal with ridicule. Hey man, you've been married how many years, man? And you talking about you a father of the nation? You had no children. But he believed it now. He saw identifying. Say identifying.
Identify.
You got to identify with who you are in Christ. That's why it says, by the acknowledging of every good thing in you, in who? Christ. Not in Bubba. Not in Sapphire. No, it's in Jesus Christ. We'll look at how we are, the natural. And we look in the mirror. We look at our history. It reminds us. But put our focus on who we are in Christ and acknowledge that. Say acknowledge that.
Acknowledge that.
So make a long story short, it was a year later. See, a year later. It happened quickly. They had the baby. She got pregnant almost immediately after he got changed his name. Matter of a couple, few months. Yeah. It's in scripture. When he was 99, God changed his name. 100 years old, she has the baby. What about the stuff we've been held up? It could be it's how you see yourself, how you've been talking about yourself.
Wow.
It's not that God's holding you up. And there's a due season, but the due season is up to how you're talking, how you're acting, and what you believe. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, God, here you go. Now look at Psalms 103, verse 20. I'm going to talk a bit more about angels a little further, but I'm just touching on it now. This is a very important passage that's reflective of the words we speak. It says here, bless the Lord. If you could put it up in the King James Version, please, if you can get it on the screen, King James Version. But verse 20, 103. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength. Angels are powerful. That's another challenge. We got these Christmas angels, you know. They look like they can't lift up nothing. Okay. The real angels are powerful.
Yes, they are.
And we need to start believing in them.
Amen.
They're mighty.
Yes.
They protect.
Yes.
And the Bible says they prosper your way. Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
The Bible says they prosper your way. Notice we said, make your own way prosper. Why? Because you're talking the word. We're going to show you in a moment that the angels hearken and respond to the words you speak when you speak the word of God. They don't respond to other words. I'm broke. I'm always broke. Things always bad happen to me. They don't respond to that. Their hands are tied, if you would. All they do is hearken or respond to the word of God that's out of your mouth.
All right.
Let's read it. I'm going to show you chapter and verse. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his what? Commandments, God's commandments, his word, hearkening. Say hearkening. Unto the voice. Say voice. Of his word. Why? Well, yeah, they do what God says, but wait a minute. They do what God said, but when you say what God said, they're going to do what God said in your mouth. Oh, yeah, yeah. Over your life.
Amen.
They're still doing what God said, but you directing what God said in your situation.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. They're doing what God said. They're hearkening to the voice of the word of God, but they're not talking. They don't get popular sayings. They don't hearken to that. I want a minute. I'm not trying to knock what you may be doing, what you may think of, what you may like. I'm not knocking that. It's just a mid-course correction if you want to receive it. Is when you, the angels, big angels, are sent to minister for you. That's in, it's in Hebrews chapter 1, I think verse 14. These ministering spirits are sent to minister for you, not to you, for you. In other words, like work at a restaurant, the waiter, waitress, they're there to minister for you. Can you imagine how frustrated they may be? You've been there for 2 hours, haven't ordered nothing. Can't make up your mind. Complaining about the menu. That's what happens with our angels assigned to us. We have them. As believers, we have them. And they're real. They're real. Yeah, they are. They're real. They're real. Say they're real. Don't believe, talk to me, folk in this church had major deliverances in their life by angels protecting their lives or their children. They're very real as long as your mouth is in line.
Amen.
Your mouth. Say my mouth.
My mouth.
They hearken to the voice. Well, you know, your mouth has got to get voice. Or they don't know, can't hear you. Yeah. So I look up the word hearken. Oh, God. I went between services. Let's go a little deeper. Oh, God. I got revelation. The Hebrew word hearken is the word shama. Shama. And it means to hear intelligently, oh God. Wow. It means often with implications, meaning I'm going to hear to get something done. It means with implications of attention. So they hear to pay attention. It means obedience. Say obedience.
Obedience.
See, the angels hearken to the voice of the word. When you give voice to the word of God in your mouth, guess what? They do it on your behalf. Because you're praying and asking God to do something in specific situations in your life, over your children, your job, your career, the investments. Are you following me? Your athletic activity, whatever you desire of the Lord. The angels are sent. We have ministering spirits assigned to us to help us. They're beyond Christmas decorations, y'all. And this is what the Hebrew word. I'm not making this up. It's in your Strong's. By a concordance. It means to hear intelligently, often with implications of attention, obedience. It means a call. Oh, I hear the word. Somebody's talking the word. Call. They hearken. It means gather together. Sometimes you need stuff gathered together for you. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you need stuff gathered together for you. That's what angels, they gather. Say gather. Gather together carefully, certainly, I mean, they do it on purpose. Give consent, declare, diligently discern, give ear, I love it, cause to let, make it happen, hear, tell, it means obedient, it means to obey. They hearken, they obey the word. And then to tell and give understanding. That's what the word hearken means. One other thing, and we finish up. I want to minister to you in healing. It's the word voice. When I got that, in Hebrew, it's the word kol. It's spelled G-O-W-L. And it means to call aloud. Yeah. See, you whispering, I love Jesus. Lord, help me. Hallelujah. The voice, Lord, it belongs to me. I'm standing on your word, Lord God, and I want to thank you. Yes. You sent your word and healed me too.
Yes.
And I receive my healing. I thank you, Father, all my needs are met. Now you may not do that at your job, okay? Or in your car, at home, in your private place. You're giving it much voice. Aloud, say aloud.
Aloud.
And until you get there, then you're ashamed to do it. Mm. It's foolishness to us. Mm. You got to let it go deep, and then you see the understanding. You realize, I get it.
Yes.
I get it. I got to be bold about this. Because the devil's bold about messing with you. He's bold big time. You got to be bold to resist and tap into the help of the angels that work on your behalf. Amen.
Amen.
Talking about back to basics, right? And then it says, the last part is proclaim and proclamation. I like proclamation. You know how you have a proclamation about all the whereas and all that? It's written down. It may be good about some things you believe in God for, write it down.
Amen.
Maybe you've been with a sickness, affliction for a long time, write it down.
Yes.
Declare and write it down. That'll help you firm it in your own heart. That's what the word voice means.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Now I want to minister to you. If you would put your Bible and stuff down, your notes, if you would, your iPad and phone and a person. And I want to, because Jesus is a healer. And one of the areas, in fact, the main thing that Jesus said he came to heal was to heal the broken heart. And one of the areas where we need healing in our heart? Because our heart gets broken. See, it's the spirit of man where the problems come from. Our heart gets broken, where we don't want to trust again. We're cynical. Because people we trusted into, they didn't do us right. They let us down. That may come in a variety of ways in our lives. Even when we're older, we pick up this stuff along the way, and we need healing so we can trust the word of God.
Yes.
Or maybe I trust the church, and they misuse me, or the preacher, or whatever, and they, okay, I get it. But we trust in God. See, you just trust God's word. I'm teaching you God's word.
Yes.
And so here's an opportunity to get healing in your heart and in your body and in everything about your life.
Amen.
But it starts from the inside out. And those watching online, this is for you too. It's for you too. If you touch somebody's shoulder or hand just gently nearby as a point of contact, I want to declare this over your life. Everybody should touch somebody. If you maybe a row or so behind somebody else, maybe somebody standing next to them, usher somebody, touch somebody as a point of contact. I'm going to declare God's word of healing over your life. This is not mind science. It's not hocus pocus. But the Bible says, Jesus talks about how there was a centurion that had a servant, a Roman soldier. And he came to Jesus and said, my servant is suffering. And will you come heal him? And he said, okay, I'll come. No, he said, will you heal him? He said, I'll come. He said, no, don't come. Just speak the word only. I'm not worthy that you come up in my house because, you know, my lifestyle, I'm not one of those, you know, I just want you to heal my servant. And then Jesus said this, you don't want me to come? You said, speak the word only? Yeah, do that. Then he said, I have not found any faith like this. No, not even in Israel. The people who I'm sent to by God. Here, a Gentile man. Understand, the man says, I get it, Jesus. I'm a man under authority. I tell my people what to do. Soldiers go over here and do that. They go do it. I get it. You got authority too. You're under authority. Now speak the word. And if you would, we're going to have you speak life over your life. Speak healing over your life. If you dare to believe it and do it and receive it, there's healing in this house. I'm anointed of God. When I was called to preach over 30 years ago, I was called to heal the sick. It hasn't gone away. In fact, it's increasing now. And I want to minister to you. Don't take a few minutes. We'll be finished. I want to receive from God. If you say these words with me, Jesus. You were wounded for my transgressions.
You were wounded for my transgressions.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
The chastisement of my peace.
The chastisement of my peace.
My pain.
My pain.
My discomfort
was upon you.
On the cross.
On the cross.
And by Jesus' stripes.
By Jesus' stripes.
When he was beaten.
I am healed.
In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, it says you were healed. So
yes.
If you were, you is now.
That's right. That's right. Hallelujah.
If you were healed, if your bills are paid off 2 years ago, it's paid off now unless you got some more bills. You see, it's how we accept and believe in the now.
Yes.
I didn't get a chance to get to it, but in Mark 11:24, it says very clearly, what things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it now. Well, not when you pray, and you shall have it. You see, when you believe you got it, you get it.
Amen.
When you believe you got it, you get it.
Amen.
When you believe you have it, you possess it.
Amen.
That's God's way. It's biblical. It's not hype, my friend.
Amen.
It's not hype. Too often, it's just a small correction. We can see that in technology, a small correction. We see that with building things, a small correction. Well, God is saying to us, some of us, and I had to do it myself about a few weeks ago, I made a small correction, and some of the things I've been believing God to do is happening rapidly in my life. And I was a hold up. Didn't want to, but I was doing it. But now, because I made a decision to be more in line and believe and act and talk even more clearly, even after the situation sometimes delayed. And they say no when they said yes at first. And God's opened up other doors. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Because I said, I have it now.
Yes.
I didn't say, well, maybe it won't happen. No, no. I have it now. Say, I have it now.
I have it. I receive it. Hallelujah.
When you believe you receive it, then you show it.
Amen.
See, believe you got it, then you get it.
Amen.
And that takes time. But the get between having it and receiving it and getting it don't have to take 20 years, y'all.
Amen.
Unless you waver. And I wavered a little bit, got a little thinking, sticking, talking in there. And hearing to my angels. As soon as I got aligned with the angels,
hallelujah,
things are happening much quicker.
Hallelujah.
So, Father, I thank you. You're healing your people now.
Yes,
you're healing and anointing right now. Heal their heart that they're open to receive from you. Doesn't matter. You don't heal based on situations of people, their background, their experiences. There aren't no any hard cases. If we'll be open, if you be open to receive, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter what you're dealing with, my friend, even a relationship, no matter what, Lord, heal my heart. Be open to your voice and follow you and be all that you called me to do.
Amen.
Say, I receive my healing.
I receive my healing.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For healing me.
For healing me.
Let your anointing flow, Lord God. Oh, yeah, thank you. Let the anointing flow. Let your healing anointing flow, Lord God. Minister to you. Yeah, let it flow right now. Yeah, let it flow right. Yeah, yeah. Receive it. Receive it. Oh, yeah, thank you, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit flow and his healing power flow.